someone cares for you.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. We're getting ready to go straight into the Word of God. And I want you to get your Bible, get a notepad, get a pen, call a friend, call a neighbor. We're getting ready to study the Word of God from the topic, what it means to fear God. Let's go straight into the Word of God.
Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. A lot of people right now, they're wise in their own eyes. They're living by their own wisdom. They have left the Word of God and made their own Bibles in their own minds. And I'm talking about church folks, too. Now, I'm not critical of anybody, any church, any preacher, anybody, but I'm observant. Just a couple of days ago, or actually yesterday, I heard on a station, a Christian station, they brought a person on who was talking some very interesting things, but the man was on there cursing like a sailor, and nobody said anything about it. No announcement came over to say that the thoughts of this person is not the thoughts of this station. None of that. Just had the man on just cursing. And this is a Christian network. Nobody said nothing. You know, and I talked a little bit about a month ago how some of the Christian celebrities are venturing off into things. Some of the people that we highly respect, highly love, have blessed the body of Christ with so many wonderful songs, and yet they venturing off into things. Now, nobody said nothing. And what I mean by nobody said nothing, the people that have the platform to say something, not saying anything. And there's a reason behind all this is where I'm going this morning. Okay. But the Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, wait a minute. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that tells me all the things you've ever learned about God, if you didn't learn how to fear him, you haven't even learned him yet.
Amen. That's right.
And the truth of the matter is people have learned a lot of things about God, but all that stuff is obsolete if you don't fear him. Hallelujah. It says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't fear God, nothing you know about God is worth a hill of beans. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning what it really means to fear God. And then I want the scripture to talk to you. Because we done tried to describe what it means to fear God, you know, and instead of me trying to give a definition to it, let's just read the word. And let's just believe what the word says. Let's just believe that God meant what he said. He said what he meant and meant what he said. Amen. See, there's a God that people serve that this Bible don't back up. And it's called the God of your imagination.
Yeah.
In other words, you imagine God to be a certain way. And in this book, he ain't nothing like that. So you done devise, when I say you, I'm talking about people that don't fear God. So you done devise a God in your mind that lets you get away with anything. You can do anything, say anything. You can live any kind of way. You know, nobody got to address it. And then now you know God loved me so much that's all right. But you better go read this book and believe that this book describes the type of God he is. This book describes who he is. And if the God in your mind don't add up to the God in this book, then you got another God. You're serving another God. Okay, Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. I told you I got a lot of scriptures because I won't let the scripture talk. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 6. The Bible said, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so thy God chasteneth thee. See, people allow certain things. If they think the God of Israel is not going to address some things, They are fooling themselves. If I ever get to the point to where I think as a Christian, I can get out of here next week and none of y'all watching me and I can do some things. And just because they got a scripture over there in 1 John 1:9 that said, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me. And that scripture is true. But in the back of my mind, I know that scripture over there. Nobody watching me. I'm going to just go and do this because I know God going to forgive me. You don't fear God.
That's right.
Amen. That's just the bottom line. You don't fear him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That scripture not there for people that's going to tempt him and say, well, I know he's going to forgive me, so God understand. No, you got the wrong, you're serving the wrong one. Lord, help me teach this morning with mercy. You see, because you know why I need to teach this with mercy? Because I've missed it probably more than all of y'all. But I thank God for his mercy upon my life for sparing me. Hallelujah. Let me get through this. It says, he'll chasten you. Verse 6 said, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. God teaching these people to fear him. Now watch this. Look at Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 and verse 13. It says, and now, Israel, what doeth the Lord require of thee? What do God require of me? Hallelujah. It says, but to fear the Lord. This is God himself telling you, telling us, you know, because we know he's a loving creator. We know he's merciful. But here he is teaching us now to fear him. He said, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him. And he wants you to know that he loves you. He got your best interest always in mind. But see, most people, when they read this book, they understand one side of him. People read this book and they're going to pick out all the good. They're going to pick out how much he loved them, how much mercy he got for you, how many times he'll forgive you, and all of that's the word of God. But we better pick out this other stuff and know the other side of him.
Amen.
To love him, to serve him. The Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Watch verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for your good. God said, all of this is for your good. And he said, I'm God. He said, before now, he said, I want you creatures that I created, you people that I created, I want you to love me. I want you to trust me. I want you to be able to come to me and have a relationship, a father, son, a father, daughter relationship. But don't get fooled now. I need you to know who I really am and what I'm capable of doing. Don't let that fool you. Oh, I enjoy the fact that I can get up and talk to him about anything. I can get up and love on him and know he's going to love on me. I enjoy the fact that I know he'll forgive me if I need forgiveness. I enjoy all of that. But I've come to realize and respect and enjoy the fact that this same God that loved me will wipe me out.
Yeah.
Now, I know people don't want to, that people want to throw that out the sermon. Okay, all right, go and throw it out. But you better read this book and you better understand who you're dealing with.
Right.
He said, for your good. Now let's look at a few scriptures. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Christians, I start to say for the most part, I don't want to say that because I would like to think there's millions upon millions of people still love God, still walking in the fear of the Lord, still serving him, still living holy. Amen. I don't care how unholy the church get. I don't care how unholy the world get. I don't care how lost the world is. There's going to still be a group of people that love God, going to serve him, going to live for him, and going to be holy. Hallelujah. But on the other hand, I'm not so naive to think that there are some people that done lost their zeal.
They done lost their respect for God. And the fear of the Lord needs to come back to the church. The world don't fear God because the church done lost the fear of God. And in some cases, the world fear God more than the church. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Let's just investigate a few scriptures here. Because I'm going to let the scripture talk to you. And I'm going to take my time, like Minister Webb said. But I'm still going to close early. Because this is my season to do that. Now, when the Lord take me back to just teaching and breaking down the word, I'll do that. But I'm in another season now. Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at the apostle. I told you we need to look at these apostles and we'll learn from them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And I'm gonna read a couple of scriptures, then back up and read the scripture in context. But I want you to see what Paul is saying. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Look at what Paul said. He said, wherefore we labor. Paul wrote in one of his letters, and he said, I labor more than them all. He said, I labor more than all the apostles. Okay, but watch why he was laboring. Let him talk to you. He said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, which means Paul had a consciousness that I want God to accept me. Paul wasn't so caught up on himself that I'm Apostle Paul. I wrote most of the New Testament. I'm sure he wasn't even thinking that when he was doing it. But he wasn't so caught up on himself and lost the fear of God. Paul said, I labor. I labor because I love him and I serve him. I serve him because of what he done for me. But I labor that I might be accepted of him. Whether present or absent, that I'll be accepted of him. And he labored out of love. He wasn't laboring because he was afraid God was going to cast him into hell, but he wasn't dumb enough to know that God could cast him if he wanted to. He didn't dismiss that. He said, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now look, jump down to verse 14. And you can go back and read all of this in context, in your spare time, and see, won't you see the apostle saying the very thing that I'm trying to present to you. This man had a fear of God. Verse 14, for the love of God constraineth us. In other words, in verse 9, he said, we labor. He said, I labor. I give God my best. I serve him with all my heart, all my life. He said, I labor out of love. Okay. In verse 14, he said, but I'm constrained by love. The word constrained simply means to force, and I don't take that wrong because God don't force you to serve him. But what Paul is saying, because I've experienced his love is the force behind my labor. It also means to compel. His love compels me to serve him. Glory to God. When I'm by myself, his love compels me to stay out of sin. I know sin to put you out of the presence of God, and I don't want to be out of the presence of God. I'm not sinning because I don't want to go to hell, but I'm also not sinning because his love is propelling me.
Yeah.
It also means compel and propel. His love is propelling and compelling me, and his love is the force behind my serving him, living for him every day. That's what Paul said. He said, for the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Paul knew a little bit about the love of Jesus, that he would die for me when I was killing his church. So he fell in love with God. But his love for God and his love and the love that God had for him never deceived him to lose the fear of God. Look at verse 9. I get back up to verse 9. Again, and let's go down to verse 11. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse 10 says, watch this. Watch what Paul's saying now. Watch what the apostle said. He said, we labor. I want to be accepted of him. And his love is propelling me, but I fear him too. Now, I'm telling you, this is what the apostle said. He said, his love is what makes me do what I do, but I still fear him.
Yeah.
He said, why? Because we must all appear.
before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, we apostles going to appear before that judgment seat. We're going to step up before the judgment and be judged for every single thing we've done, everything we've said. Paul said, I fear him. And he said, we're going to be judged. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us to receive the things done according that we have done, whether it be good or bad. Good or bad being discussed at the judgment seat of Christ? Oh, they're teaching that say ain't going to be no bad discussed there. It's all rewards. Okay, if it is, explain this scripture to me here. Now, I got many more I want to ask you to explain to me, but I don't have time to get to them. But I'm asking you, explain to me what the judgment seat has to do with bad if it's all good. Let me move on. Now, watch the next verse, this apostle. Paul said, I got to appear before the judgment seat. You got to appear before the judgment seat. Judgment seat of Christ is after this thing is over. Has anybody appeared before the judgment seat of Christ yet? I know I haven't. So it got to be futuristic. All right? So Paul said, we are going to all appear before that judgment. And then verse 11 says, now knowing the terror, wait a minute, what this apostle, what we doing discussing terror? This thing is all about love, all about mercy, all about forgiveness. But Paul saying it's all about having some fear of God. This thing could turn out to be terrifying. You said that kind of preaching put, you scaring the people. Hell is in the Bible, right? Let me use it in the right context. Some of this preaching ought to scare the hell out of the people. Because apparently a lot of folks done lost their fear of God. I was watching the television, just thumbing through it the other day, and RuPaul got this show in Hollywood called RuPaulawood or something. And it's about all these men that done had these sex chains, these drag queens. And I was saying to myself, I feel sorry for men who still lusting, who lust after women, because you mess around, put your eyes on one of these and not know this is a man. Y'all will get that later on. You better break that spirit of lust. You don't know what you're looking at. But these men was on TV, and you could see the pride, and you could see the arrogance, and you could see how they know that the world that we now live in has just totally accepted them. And not that I stand up here in judgment of them, but I know one thing. You've lost your fear of God. If you think God going to buy the fact that he gave you life and made you a man, but you decide I'm going to be a woman, and now you're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ as a woman, you better be terrified of God. Y'all see what I'm saying? People done lost that fear of God. People don't fear God no more. They don't understand him. They only know one side of him. Paul said it like this. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul said, because I know the terror of coming before that judgment seat, I persuade you. Because I have a revelation of the terror of the Lord, I preach like this. I tell you the other side of the story. And of course, we always supposed to be propelled and compelled by the love of God. I serve him out of love. I serve him because I love him. I live holy because I want to be holy like him. He said, be ye holy, I'm holy. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? So it's the love of God propelling me and compelling me to live the way I live. But in the back of my mind, I know who he is too. And I know that if I don't live holy, if I'm not righteous, I know the other side of him. Yeah. Paul said, since we know the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. For he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we also manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest unto your conscience. Let me go a little further here. I'm just letting the scripture talk here. We got two more segments of scriptures, and then we're gonna let the scripture ride this out. Look at Philippians. You know, I talk a lot about the different things that I hear because I'm telling you, even if you don't hear it like I'm hearing it, I hear it on a regular basis because I'm always checking out what the body is doing, the body of Christ is doing. and what the ministry especially is doing and saying. And I'm going to tell you something. When preachers, and I'm telling you, people preaching this right now, when preachers can get up and preach that you can go back and live in sin and still make it in, I'm telling y'all, somebody better sound the alarm in the church. Because that ain't the God that I read in this book that's going to accept anything. Philippians 2 verse 12 says this. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why didn't he just say work out your salvation? Just be happy and just skip through life. I'm saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God loves me. I love him. Why he had to put fear and trembling onto that scripture? And I think we ought to investigate why he put fear and trembling in there. Because saints don't ever need to lose that fear and trembling. Okay, let's look at another scripture in Psalms 2 and verse 11. And this ain't some scripture I'm just picking out. It's all over the Bible. God taught the children of Israel to fear him. And he said, if you don't fear me, everything you've learned about me is obsolete. Hallelujah. Psalms 2. In verse 11, look at what it says. Where are we in the Old Testament? It says, Psalms 2, verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I told you, I love God. I serve him because I love him. He loves me, and I know he loves me. I know he understands everything about me. I know he's willing to forgive me, and I'm rejoicing every day. But I never lose my fear of him. And the Bible says right here, rejoice. You ought to rejoice that you're saved. Rejoice your name is written in heaven. Rejoice you on the way to glory. But he said rejoice with, how did he say it? With trembling. You say, well, Apostle, that don't mean that. Well, you go study it and you come back and tell me what it means. I think it means what it says. Let's look at some other scriptures. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Just let the scripture talk to us. Let God introduce himself to us. Hallelujah. Because most folks know only that one side of him. They know his mercy. They know his love. They know all the forgiveness. And because they have bathed themselves in that and didn't bathe themselves in fear and trembling and understand that you need to fear him too. You need to reverentially respect him. All the time. Because they didn't balance those two out, that love and mercy and all that, all the time he doesn't let you off the hook. If you not careful, that'll deceive you. And it'll get you over here to thinking, well, God, and that's the favorite saying in the church, God understands. He understands why you're doing what you're doing, why you're the way you are, but he also understands everything he's spoken. Everything comes out of God's mouth is like a contract. When it comes out, it's a contract sign. He can't, and once it come out, he can't take it back because he got a host of angels that he has commanded to watch over his word to perform it. So the minute it comes out, it's a contract. Now, if he said, I'll chasten you, if he said, I'll do this and do that, he meant that just as much as I would love you. And we got to balance it. And when we balance it, you'll have more healthy Christians loving and serving him with the fear of the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 24. You know, if people teach, well, once you get saved, you can't lose it. You can't lose out with God. You're going to make it anyway. You can go back and sin. Brother, that's not in your Bible. Now, you need to read your own Bible and go tell some of them preachers they're lying. If it's true, then let's see why these scriptures was put in the Bible. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hallelujah. Look at this. Let's look at it closely. And let's see what the scripture said. Now, don't just leap over this. Verse 24. You can go back and read it all when you get a chance, but I don't have time to read it all. Verse 24 said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of believers who have been saved and part of a local church, but they assemble in the church when they get ready. They don't fear God. You know why I'm faithful? If I wasn't a pastor, I would be faithful. I've been faithful in every church I have been a part of simply because I knew God was judging my service, judging my life. Not because I wanted the pastor to see me there regularly. I knew God was keeping record of my faithfulness, how I served the leaders, how I served the church, how I faithfully tithed, how I came, my attendance. I knew God was watching me.
Yeah.
And people done lost that, and they don't think God mean what he said when he said, okay, you're part of the church. You want to make it to see me one day? You want to relax when you come before, when I get ready to judge you at the judgment seat? Do what I tell you. Keep my commandments. One of the commandments was don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We know that people done lost the fear of the Lord because there are times when our church is packed. Come on now, there are times when it's not so packed.
Yeah.
And we ain't caring about no packed church. You can have a packed church with poor people in it. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about people that love God.
Yeah.
But there are still a few of you all that respect God, love God, faithful for his sake.
Yeah.
Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, which means some do it. God watching them, he keeping tabs on them. Watch this. But exhort one another daily so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? That day when we're going to see it and we're going to be judged. That day when it's over. No more labor on this earth. Whatever you're going to do for God, you better do it now while you got time. It says, watch this. For if we sin willfully, I'm telling you what the scripture said. Now, the Bible said in Deuteronomy, he said, keep my commandments and fear me. That's what he taught the people. God taught the people, listen, I'm God. I love you, and I'm going to build a love relationship with you, but do what I tell you. Right here, after you've been told what God said to do, and then you just dismiss it as if God understand, then the Bible says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, you've been told, you have been explained to you, then you go right out and violate what this book says, that's a person that don't fear God. You say, yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. How can I say that on the authority of this book? You don't fear God.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to have to cut into the broadcast. We're just about out of time, but I want to thank you for tuning in to the teaching of the Word of God. And I thank those of you that love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, the Bible says to fear the Lord, amen, is to hate evil. Amen. We hate evil. We hate sin, and we love righteousness. Amen. And so we thank God for you. Tune in with us each time we're on the air. If you'd like a free copy of any of our teaching, give us a call at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. We will give you a free copy of the teachings of the Word of God. We're right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 1158 North Little John Drive. Our service on Sundays at 11 a.m. and on Thursdays, 7 p.m. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.
Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you.